He says, pardon me, if I drop off to sleep, I said, you can't fall asleep.
What is that bright lace cloth that's coming to the window?
I'm looking at bright side, the harbor people. There were people out there who remember years gone by, during this time of year, when they opened the bridge.
The same handout we're starting out with, that you did over here last week, if not, it's available. I have extra copies over here. The handout that's out there, we'll get to it. But, so if you have that handout from last week, we're gonna start with that. If you need that, let me know. And then there's a new handout on this. So, starting out with the handout from last week. If you have it, great. If not, great. Has copies of it. And then there's a new handout that we'll get to eventually. That's what was on the table.
Are there still some back there?
Yes.
I thought I got one.
So Greg's handing out the one from last week. Starts at chapter 1, verse 12. Yeah. So we're starting out with the handout from last week. I didn't put them both out there. So there's a new handout we're going to get to in a moment. That's what was on the table. If you were here last week, you still have that handout, great. If you weren't here last week, or you don't have that handout from last week, Greg has copies of those. He's out. Don't worry, you can follow along. So again, Ecclesiastes, words of Solomon, wisdom, emphasizing bottom line, life is not meaningless. Does fit in well with the scripture readings for today. Again, just reminding us what makes our life valuable and meaningful and full of purpose. A life without God is going to be meaningless. And we're not going to see the purpose of it. But God reminds us of the purpose of the life that He has given to us. All right, so we're in chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. We're in the middle of discussion there. In chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. We'll read the whole section again to capture it. 12 to 18, we're going to read over those verses.
I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to understanding of wisdom, and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this, too, is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Okay, thanks. So, again, as we touched on previously, it may seem like Solomon is coming across in a pessimistic manner, but he's making the point that, again, life without God, and he's tried to go that route, is going to be meaningless and empty. And the only way to really see life as the half full glass that it is by God's grace is to look at it from God's lens. And that's where we always need that reminder. Because for our human nature, it's easy to fall into that pessimistic side of the glass is half empty. And so we need God to remind us that no, His mercies remain new and fresh every day. He's, He still sends rain on the just and the unjust. He provides what we need. We have food and clothing. I mean, how often do we take for granted the necessities of life and don't realize that those necessities from life come from God day in and day out, whether we're deserving of them or not? And God has told us too, right? Throughout Scripture, that life is not going to be easy because of sin in the world. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. Believers, even more so perhaps than the unbelievers. And so we're not to get caught up in the comparison game. Well, they have it better than I do. Woe is me. I mean, God's mercy is on us as it is on them. And we who know about God's mercy have it in our life. Really, he reminds us there's no room for woe is me. And yet we're going to struggle. And so we need that constant reminder about God's mercy and encouragement time and time again. That Psalm, you know, kind of makes the point in those opening verses that Greg read for us. That you can work for a company 30, 40 years, and you think you got your pension locked up, and then that company folds and the pension goes away. And then you go, what was the point? Well, what would you say to somebody? What was the point? I gave them the 35 best years of my life. I sacrificed time and time again. How dare they go under? What was the point? And you would say?
Your life is meaningless.
Your life is meaningless. Don't put a grain for a dice. Okay. That's what we want. You know, good point, right? First of all, acknowledge where they're coming from. You're right. From our human point of view, it stinks. But then also use it as a way to remind you, but who's still in charge in the bigger picture? Steve?
Did you have food? Did you have clothing all those years? Did you live? You were given that by the company and by the Lord. Who kept the door? Promised you that something would go wrong.
Right? And there's a key thought too, right? We think we are guaranteed these things, and the only guarantee is through the cross and tomb. And so we get caught up into that trap. And again, that's one of our objectives, is to avoid getting caught up in the world's traps.
Well, it wasn't too many years ago that there weren't any retirement plans. You saved. And that was your retirement.
Right.
The company wasn't obligated to give you anything.
No, that's true, right? There weren't retirement plans, and people can live as long as they are living. And also, another dynamic in there, you know, like the Walton family, right? I mean, you all live together, right? So you threaten your kids. Remember, we're going to come back in. You live with us for 35 years, we're going to live with you.
Social Security was put in under FDR. They only expected about 11% of the population to ever get to receive it.
Sure, yeah. So then they had to continually expand it. So again, just a reminder, you can see where Solomon's coming from. He's pointing that out. We get caught up in the world's traps, even though as Christians we know better. So we need that reminder, again, of the bigger picture. That God still is in control, and he still takes care of us. And all those years that we did, we were able to provide for family, we were able to influence this and that, so they weren't meaningless life. It wasn't a meaningless life, even though at this point in time you think, how could this happen? Was it all for waste? No, not at all. All right, verse 15 is where we want to start the new discussion. The sheep there, halfway, agree or disagree, Solomon is advocating fatalism. What is twisted cannot be straightened, what is lacking cannot be counted. Stating the fact, right? What's the emphasis? What's he trying to emphasize there? Who's in charge? God's in charge. Who wants to be in charge? Man, right? The human being. What can the human being do?
What God does.
Right? And so, you know, mankind, we try to escape the consequences of sin in the world. Can we do it? No. Right? The more we try to escape mankind's way, the more complicated it becomes.
Thanks. So Solomon is not advocating a fatalism, but emphasizing how, again, the Lord is in charge, and he does what he does. If you look at, go ahead to chapter 7, verse 13. Chapter 7, verse 13. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? Again, we'll talk about that more when we get there, but just a reminder of who God is and what he does, and we can't outdo God. Romans 11 gives us a reminder, again, of how blown away we ought to be when we contemplate God and what he does. As we said, we can't even contemplate how vast the universe is or the depths of the oceans. And yet we think we get a handle on them, and then we get blown away some more. God is continually, the more advanced we think we become as a society, God still humbles us time and time again. Because then we just become amazed. Wow, the oceans are that deep, we didn't even realize. But who did realize? God does. Think of Psalm 2. You recollect Psalm 2. Who is the arrogant one in Psalm 2? The kings of the world, right? The rulers of the world. And they try to reign without God, giving a thought to God. And yet who brought them up and who brings them down? Right? God does. And so just that bigger picture that God reminds us of through Solomon. Verse 17. What is meant by the words madness and folly? Again, Solomon's trying to find wisdom, even though he was given great wisdom. But then there was a pursuit for madness and folly. What is madness and folly? Well, as you're contemplating that, where do we encourage our children to go one day when they're 18 years old? Because what do we think they're going to find there? Knowledge. And what do they find there? Do you think your money is being spent wisely? Right? We look to the universities to provide knowledge. Well, what kind of knowledge are they spewing on? Yeah. Madness and folly. And so when we realize that this is all madness and folly, and what else is going on in the college scene? I'm just picking on the college scene right now. What else is going on in the college scene? Instead of finding knowledge in the books, they try to find knowledge and wisdom through what? Yeah, some professors take advantage of their students, right? These are the Dateline stories that appear. What do they? They find the drugs, they look for the sex, they look for the bottle. They're trying to find wisdom and knowledge from all these other things. And it all leads to more madness and folly. And they still come up with no meaning of what answer through that bottle, through that drug. Because what was the big drug in the 60s? Everybody was encouraged to do this and you'll become wise. And yeah, right? How many brains have been fried because of that? You may have saw different colors, but did that help you with the meaning of life? No. But what's sad is we're still pushing the drugs to give people the idea that they will find the meaning of life. Or take a break from life. Well, they can take a break from life for good. Think of the baby that just was killed because it came in contact with fentanyl. Thankfully, mom and dad are being brought up in churches.
But it goes to back many other cultures as well. They've always had it. The Paiutes, the Indians used to use different things. Always, to elicit higher, you go to India, you go to that thing. It's not new. Nothing new on the sun again, but you never gain it.
And again, Solomon was searching.
And as Jesus
those means.
Was, what? The smartest man that's ever lived. And he still had to pursue
Right, so that's what he's building on. Who better than to listen to than someone who had gone down that road seeking wisdom that ended up really this madness and folly? And then, it is one thing to be smart, is another to be what?
Intelligent,
wise, right? The ability to put those smarts to use for a favorable result. Again, we can send man to the moon, but what can't we do? We can't get ourselves to heaven. Don't think too hard on this. We can send man to the moon, but for some reason we can't solve world hunger. But the answer is really right before us. Psalm 145. The Lord does satisfy the desires of every living thing. He makes it possible. You know, now China, right? They're having all this big discussion because they aborted those babies because families can only have one child. And now they're going, we don't have enough children to raise that older generation. And we in America can't really point the finger at China because we're doing the same thing.
I wonder if they would allow the astronauts to say what they said way back in the 60s when they got to the moon. You know, the first job. I mean, yeah, John, you know, the first chapter. Word was God. Can you imagine? I bet they cut him off now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there was definitely more of a God-fearing society. So again, just a good reminder of how we pursue knowledge and wisdom in all the wrong places and where we need to pursue it. That what God has given us the Great Commission, right? We need to go into all the world and teach so that they know what true wisdom and knowledge is. So verse 18, what do we think he means to say with this verse? With much wisdom comes sorrow, for more, the more knowledge is more grief. Yeah, right? The more you learn, sometimes you see how messed it up. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. I mean, you watch the news and you can become depressed.
But Neil Armstrong just got married in 93. So how in bright was he?
Did he marry wealthy?
Married
younger. I guess more power to him. Yeah, I see.
You know, I've said this before. Sometimes I envy Bruce. You mean, you know, that he takes things as they are. You don't need the knowledge and that. He knows God. He accepts it. And that's it. It doesn't happen. When we go fighting for knowledge, and every time you start getting more, you get more screwed up because you try to say, is it me or him? You know what? You get it. So sometimes knowledge can be very, I don't want to say harmful, but it can lead you in the wrong direction.
It can, it doesn't have to, but you think of how many intelligent people, especially in the scientific world, are agnostic, if not atheists, because they get caught up in their knowledge and can't understand the knowledge of God. They miss Romans 11 and what that means. So again, sometimes ignorance is bliss, and with wisdom without God, that can lead to grief and sorrow if you don't have that God perspective. Why do bad things happen in this world? We like to think people are basically good, but then we get evidence that they're not. And so that can shake us to our core. Again, if you don't know the Word of God and why people have this sinful nature and act the way they do, and that there is a Savior. So again, we miss the main problem of sin, and thus we miss the main solution, the only solution, which is Jesus. And so the world, we're not going to find answers to the problems and solutions because they're looking in the wrong place. But that's why God has put us as lights in the world. And so when people, Solomon points out, as they seek pleasure from the ways of the world and trying to find knowledge and wisdom, it only leads to more heartache and more grief. Again, we said before, we all grieve, especially at the loss of a loved one, but we grieve even more at the loss of a child, because death is not natural to begin with. But then when a child dies, it's even more unnatural to us. But you know, it's even harder, it's hard for a Christian to lose a child. For an unbeliever. And so you see that as you talk to people, that there is a difference by the grace of God for those who have lost a child and have faith and those who don't have. It still hurts, but the way to work through it is key. And may God help us when we come to those situations, share the love of Jesus with people. To encourage those who have that love of Jesus already and then to lead people to another so that they can begin the healing. Let's look at chapter 2 and we'll get into some discussions. Verses 1 through 11. Gotta read for those verses.
I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun.
Okay, thanks. So here, when he talks about my heart, not talking about the physical heart, just the emotional side, but the entire will, right? His entire life of thoughts, personality, and so forth. Now, what was Solomon trying to find by pursuing pleasure? What was he trying to find? Again?
More pleasure.
More pleasure.
Find out what's good.
Yeah, find out what's good. What gives life meaning, purpose, value, right? He should have known better, but again, sinful nature get the best of us. What sort of things did he pursue then in hope and finding such meaning in life and what's good? Right? Everything, right? Laughter. Here we're going to build chapter 2 of the Summer. Wine, folly, women. I mean, he did not hold back from trying to find it. Verse 3, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. Right? He wanted to make his cake and eat it too. He went to the edge of trying things, but he did not lose control. So he could feel the effect of what he was trying. So he went, again, drink, but he knew his limit. But he could remember. You know, how many people unfortunately drink and they don't remember? And they don't know what their limit is. What word dominates throughout verse 4 and following?
I,
right? Forgetting who has made anything and everything possible. All of our Creator, right? We are to be His handiwork. And here God has given us so much for good. What do we do with it? We try to find ways to You know, laughter is a good thing that we can turn it into laughing at people. Wine in itself is not wrong, but it can be misused. The gift of women, right? I mean, Adam and Eve, go back to that. Adam, wow, thank you, Lord, for giving me this woman. But how do we treat women today? Right? You know, and vice versa, women treat men. And what we've done with sexuality, right? So it's a big disrespect for God. So again, he gives us these things for good, but we find a way to use it for selfish use. Think of what Solomon's reflecting that too, of man, I've done all these things, and they kind of left my life meaningless. He built a temple, right? He built a house. He had other activities. Now they're all listed there for us. How far had Solomon gone in his attempts to find and define wisdom and the meaning of life? We are told.
He went quite a ways. He did about everything he could in his wisdom. I mean, he tried pleasure, he tried building, he tried it. Name it, he probably tried it.
Right? He denied himself nothing, he says. He refused no pleasure. Verse 10, right? In light of the list of things noted in verses 4 to 9. So, were all his attempts bad or evil? No, not in of itself. Many purposes, pursuits, could be good things, but he was missing the motive and the purpose behind them. And sometimes with us too. Not every pursuit is bad necessarily, in and of itself. What's our intent behind pursuing it needs to be looked at. What was the conclusion Solomon reached after his chase of pleasure? Meaningless. Meaning still lacking, right? He's still left wanting. So while we can find some pleasure for the things, activities of this world, how long does it last? 70 years of beauty for the strength, right? It's all temporary. And so it's not, again, meant to be a depressing thing, but just a reality check. And so let us enjoy the life that God has given to us. Let us live life and live to the full with Jesus all the way. And there is more to this life. And we were, again, dealing with a society years ago that had a concept better, that this life is temporary and we need to get our affairs in order. Where now, again, it's become tougher in the last 10 years, in a sense, when you're dealing with a society that doesn't even care about the afterlife. If I go to hell, so what? The backside there, applying the scriptures, agree or disagree. Education is the answer to life's problems. Education of the Bible, right? We think it will be, right? We got drug problems, so we'll educate how to use drugs properly. We got sex problems, we'll educate how to do sex properly. We got drinking problems, we'll educate what you should drink or not drink. And when we come up with all these education programs, think of how much money is spent on education. And are we better off? Not that we shouldn't give our attention to such things, but again, we're missing what's behind all these problems we want to come up with education programs for. No, right? We can't. So we go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It all goes back then to that. And that's one of the reasons why, thankfully, we give thanks for the opportunity to establish a school. So that we can help families train up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, it's not getting easier as there are families are shrinking and families don't seem to be as committed to following the Lord. And so what gets taught at school can be undone at home every night, and then you gotta start over again the next day. Would you pray that those children, when they go home, they will be the lights for their moms and dads? There's, again, a lot of dynamics that are being dealt with in schools today. So again, if it's tough in our setting to help children and families live the life of Christ, I mean, think in the public setting, when you don't have Christ, it's not even allowed to be mentioned. So we need to pray for those in that setting a little more, especially Christian teachers who are in that setting, that they can have an influence.
What's strange is that education, the whole, everything in it, is supposed to be striving for truth. And I talked to my son about this, and but there's just a part of the puzzle that they don't put in there, and that God has to be part of it to find real truth.
Right.
They come up with truth, like evolution, which they sidestep creation, so they're missing it.
So yeah, education is to be about facts, but again, you get into theories, and that's why, you know, evolution keeps changing, because it's built on a theory, where the Bible, right, it's the same fact from day one and will be until the end of days. And there are facts out there, like even the new math, right? We changed new math. 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore. What's his when? Right? I mean, if they go to the moon today, based on the math of today, you know, it's just, again, history books, I mean, great, T can testify, you have to know history so that you can look at those books and go, this is not history, we need to help the children know what is history. So you do have to know your own research, even though when it comes to the Bible. That's why we encourage Bible students, right? Jesus was aware of that. How many people just fall for the personality, you know, or just fall for the latest fad? You know, we follow this guy on TV because he dresses nice and he gives away this or that. And so we don't even realize he's not preaching the scriptures because we're not students of the scriptures. So again, the world obviously is going to be searching in the wrong place. The Lord knows that. He's called us to be his lights and witnesses in the world. The world will never point us to where we need to turn. Any further comment on that statement? It can't, because itself doesn't have the answer. Again, with today's point, it's dealing with not facts, but more emotions. And I'm making this comment just because it's an example that sticks out in my mind. Again, it's not meant to be political. And there was a professor at a university, a major university in the Midwest, whose course was entitled, "Why I Hate George Bush and You Should Too." That was the premise of the class. What does that have to do with writing and education? So again, built on emotions and not on facts.
Evolution is an example of that. Because I've talked with these people, and then you give them the Bible, and they will not accept the historicity of the scriptures, even the historical books. And so it's a hard nut to crack.
It is a hard nut. History is an attempt to be changed. Even what Martin Luther King Jr. said, his words have been twisted. Today, there is a pushback that's growing, and it's starting in England, of all places, and we tend to imitate them. So that's good. They're pushing back on the woke movement and showing the fallacies of all the ideas that are coming out of the woke movement and how it's really not beneficial for people. But it's a strong, because that woke movement didn't just start yesterday. It's been going on for years, right? There is a calculated effort to get children. And they've been successful. And so there needs to be a calculated effort to keep our children at first and then.
There's in Missouri, Concordia College has gone diversity, inclusion, equity, that sort of thing, CRT. And that's happening in religious colleges.
That critical race theory, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not good for the future of the church in any way.
No, it does happen. Unfortunately, even Christian colleges, university settings, have been eroded. And there is a struggle, because even, you know, even with Martin Luther College and Wisconsin College, they've seen that in colleges in their conferences where their teachings have been watered down, partly because if you want funding for your student loans, you need to comply. And so, like our colleges have said, it's getting harder and harder to push back as the pool of those pushing back is smaller. And so what will happen? If we lose the ability for our students to get federal loans because we're not willing to comply, how are our students going to afford the education? And so they're working on ways to fund education if that day were to come. But so they're constantly aware of that, of what's going on, and try to avoid that condition. Right? Nothing new on the sun, as you said, because I've seen it too, like Paul in Corinthians talking about the foolishness of the world, which is considered wisdom, but really it's foolishness. Solomon's pointing that out. We see it. We see it. How do we help others see it too? That we need to be influencers and not be influenced. So without God in our life, life leads to a dead end, an eternity without God. As we said earlier, unfortunately, how many people just shrug it off today? But it does matter. Because Solomon's going to talk about that later on. We all have the same fate in the end, as far as dying. But after that is key. So what are steps we can take to give ourselves and our families and others an opportunity to hold on to true wisdom? The obvious ones, of course.
Be in church.
Discipline. You know, this has to be a priority. Because if you have a take it or leave it attitude towards it, then they're going to have a take it or leave it attitude. It's kind of like we said, you drop the children off of Sunday school and then you go to McDonald's. Well, all they look forward to is when I get older, I can go. Not even a goal, or drop my kids off and just go to McDonald's. And isn't that happened too? Years ago, at least you had families drop off their kids at Sunday school, now they're going to do that. Right? So society's influence, and that's calculated. You know, Wednesdays used to be family day, you know, churches could come and have classes on Wednesdays, and that's been taken over.
If you have to have one book in the house, this is it.
Right?
If you study that, you'll be well off.
Yep. So how's that book showing itself in your household, too? You know, it can be through mugs, pictures, your conversation. And who needs to take the lead in helping our children grow up?
The dad,
right? But the mom, right, is there in partnership too. But again, that influence that dads have, and now we have a lot of households that don't even have dads. Or it's not wasn't their father, but someone else. And I mean, it just breaks your heart how many broken homes there are, and children who are suffering at the expense of a stepdad or stepmom. These aren't my kids, so I'm going to abuse them. And wow, God have mercy, right? Yeah.
By far, like overwhelming, like 85%. And there were some moms who were there that were offended by that, but it's, you know, what the study was.
Yeah, I've been telling that to 7th and 8th graders for all my ministry. That percentage, 80% of you will fall away within the first year. 60% of you will hopefully come back, but that's shrinking.
Are they shocked when you tell them that?
No. They'll ask the question, well, how How can you say that? Because you don't come now, your parents don't come. I mean, they're showing a confirmation now, I'll just say that, that I'm not going to recommend for confirmation. You can be in the class, but that doesn't mean you're going to be confirmed.
Well, you look at any of the television or movies, any strong father that, let's say, was a Christian background, is denigrated and made a fool of. They always knock up, you know, that if you're showing up, you're not a good person if you do that. Where you are, they take the opposite and make you a bad person.
Right. Yeah, so again, unfortunately, the world has split what is good and made evil, and what's evil is not what is good. But again, nothing new in the sun. And so again, the problem has always been there since the fall into sin. The solution is there too. And unfortunately, we understand why society is going to miss it, but then the church misses it. You know, as I alluded earlier, how many churches don't even talk about sin anymore? And so then you miss the point of the gospel. So what is needed as we work to fight the good fight and stay educated and equipped and armed through the various means God has given to us? 1 Corinthians 2:14, what do we need to remember? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is the Lord except the Holy Spirit. So Jesus gave us the great commission. Go and make disciples. You need to know. They're not just going to come to our door. Go and make disciples. And preach the word, because without the word, they can't come to faith. John 20, 30 and 31 reminds us what tools we have and why is that important. We have the gospel, right? What has been written is to help us to get to know who Jesus is and thus have the gift of eternal life. I mean, there's much more that could be written about Jesus. Some people get upset that God doesn't tell them everything they want to know. Well, careful what you ask for. Romans 11. Can we ever comprehend what God has done for us and is doing for us? And since we can't, what should that lead us to do? Searching? Yep. Search His Word. Praise Him. And this is not an attitude that we are to have through life. And so that's really Solomon is driving at. I mean, you can live life without God, but it is going to be meaningless. You may have some pleasure, but it's going to be temporary. And sometimes the path you choose is going to come with consequences. And you may be able to get back on track with the Lord, but the consequences may follow still. And the Lord will give you what you need to get through those consequences. Because someone might say, man, I've done a grievous sin. How could the Lord ever forgive me? Who likes you to say those? Who likes to hear you say those words? Satan. And he will say, you're right. But what does God say? He forgave us from the cross, right? He's the one who lifts us up. Our forgiveness is not rooted in how we feel. It's rooted in the fact that Jesus died for us. And so we keep going back to the cross. As one of the hymns says, it's the power of the cross. And so Solomon gives us a great reminder through the life that he chased after. It's not about the life we chase, it's about the life that God has given to us in Christ. So God, help us live that life to keep us from chasing after the things of this world. And for those we know who are chasing after the things of this world, may God grant us wisdom to find ways to talk to them and not berate them, but encourage them. To see true life is where God is at. And then we can enjoy the things that God has given to us in this world in that light. So the Lord continue to bless you as you go on His way, and may He continue to enrich you as you ponder His word day after day. His mercies are fresh and new for you and all. Have a good week. If you're staying for the chili, enjoy.
Any gate for the rain? I know what's going on.